The question we'll deal with today is, what is repentance? Repentance. Repentance is a hated doctrine today and among our modern-day evangelists and modern-day churches and people who want to live like they want to live and do what they want to do, and they're not willing to come God's way. God requires repentance for one to be saved. It's a biblical demand. In essence, the Bible said in Luke 13:3, Jesus given some illustrations of some people that did not repent, and he said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And he again stated again in verse number 5 the same thing, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." So we see then that repentance is a doctrine that's needed. It's necessary. John the Baptist came on the scene as a forerunner of Jesus, preaching repentance, as he said, or preaching repent, which is the verb of repentance. But he said in Matthew chapter number 3, verse 1 and 2, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then when Jesus began his earthly ministry, the Bible said in Matthew 4:17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so he also then, at the end of his ministry, commissioned the New Testament church, and he commissioned it more than once as far as a commission. We call it a commission to go into all the world, in essence. But here he said in Luke chapter 24, verse 46, "And he said unto them," this is disciples, this is the nucleus of the New Testament church here, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So Jesus commanded it. He commissioned the church to preach repentance. He sent the disciples out to preach repentance. And Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when he preached that great message, he came to a place and they were convicted in their heart. And they said, "What shall we do?" And he said, "Repent." Now, some want to add, and yes, he said, "Repent and be baptized." But the emphasis is upon repentance. That's the work of God in a man's heart. And then a person will be baptized to show the world what's happened on the inside. We'll deal with that question sometime later. Have some material on some of these subjects if you want to write for that. Or ask us a question specifically. That's all right. You can disagree with us, but it's not what we say. It's what the Bible says. It's what we'll have to deal with here. And repentance is the part that's necessary for salvation. And anyone who adds baptism to repentance as part of being necessity of being saved is adding another, is really preaching another gospel. And we dealt with that some time ago, that Paul said, this: if they preach any other gospel, just let them go on to hell. In other words, that's where they're headed, because they've got a works gospel and not a grace gospel. And so therefore, Peter preached repentance. Paul preached repentance as well, as he made this statement in the book of Acts. And he spoke about in the book of Acts, chapter number 20, verse number 21, where he said that, well, he went to verse 20 and went house to house. But testifying, verse 21 says, "Both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, he said, you've got to repent. All some say, well, he told the Philippian jailer all he had to do is believe. I'll guarantee you they're connected. Repenting and believing are twins. They're Siamese twins. You can't have one without the other. And that man had already been, repentance was working in his heart. And he was telling the focal point now is to believe in Acts chapter 16. But he preached repentance. Paul preached that. Now, where does repentance come from? John chapter 3, verse 27, John the Baptist said, "A man can receive nothing except it's given him from heaven." That includes even repentance. In other words, Acts chapter 11, verse number 18, we find that whenever Paul or Peter came back to the church at Jerusalem after he'd met Cornelius, and Cornelius had gotten saved, and as a result of that, the Holy Ghost fell upon them, and they were born again. And, of course, they were Gentiles, and the Jewish people didn't like exactly what was going on. And so they called a council meeting in Jerusalem, and Peter had to testify what happened. And as he was telling what occurred that day to these men in Jerusalem, they made a statement in Acts chapter number 11, Acts chapter 11, verse number 18. It said that when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. In other words, he said that God granted it. It's got to come from heaven. The word granted means to give or bestow. And that's what we've studied about in Romans chapter 2, verse number 4, when he said there in Romans 2, 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. In other words, it's God's goodness that leads you to the place of repenting and repentance being worked so you can repent and meet the necessary requirement for being saved. Now, how does it come about? It comes from heaven, but godly sorrow has to work that. Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 10, he said, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Now, as we look at that and realize something, it's not worldly sorrow. See, worldly sorrow just works death. And people many times have just, they're sorry they got caught up with. And they turn over a new leaf. That is not repentance. Repentance, it takes a deep cause grief. A God calls grief inside a person's soul, down in their spirit, in which God works repentance in them when it's complete. And of course, this is connected with Holy Ghost conviction. Godly sorrow is the emotional part of Holy Ghost conviction, and then the factual part is the work of reproval in John 16:8 through 11. We'll deal with that in another question at a later time. But here we find godly sorrow works repentance. Deep cause grief over a man's sin, not just sins, but the sin of unbelief, that he's never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, he must repent. That's God's message. That's what the Bible said. It's not what Edgar Pascal says. It's not what the evangelists say or don't say. It's not what radio preachers say. Listen, we've got to get in the book and find out what God said. God said that a man must repent if he's going to be saved. And it's a hated doctrine, but you've got to repent to be saved. Now, when can a person repent? Well, it's now. You can now, in the day of grace, while there's an open door, while there's a preacher of righteousness, and while there's a striving spirit in Holy Ghost conviction. He's got to work it in you, bring it all to head, and grant you repentance so you can act upon that by repenting and believing. And so it's connected to that. And we'll see that at a later time as well. Also in this, ask the pastor these questions. And I beg you, give us more questions. Specific questions about what we're saying. If you have trouble understanding it, we'll be glad to break it down even in a more minute detail and more of a specific way, as many of these are so far this week is just a general detail. Not general details. They're not specific details, but they're general. But they're questions that people ask. And I pray you'll have more that you'll ask. And if you need some material on this, we've got some material that breaks it down with in a greater degree. We'd be glad to send to you explaining these things in a greater detail than what I'm doing here, even on this broadcast. But we can repent. A person can when God's working, when he works it in him, repentance in him, then he can repent. Now, who is to repent? I want to tell you something. Sinners and saints alike must repent. After you're saved, you still a time in your life when sin enters in, you've got to confess your sin and repent of that sin. And once you've repented for salvation, you'll be a good repenter from there on. And you must repent. But also, sinners must repent. I've heard radio preachers say repentance was not for a lost person. Repentance was for a saved person. I want to tell you, God said in His Word, except you repent, you shall in like all likewise perish. He's talking there to the Pharisees who were not saved. So a sinner must repent if he expects to enter into heaven one day. He's got to do that. Now, you can't do it within yourself, but God enables you to do that as He works that in you. So, now, what is repentance? We just define it now. Repentance is not religion. Many people get religious and join the church and are baptized, and you ask them, have they repented? And they don't even know what it is. They've never dealt with it. I know you might not know all the terminologies I use, but if I preach this and you've ever had a work of God done in your heart, the Holy Spirit inside you will agree with these and say, that's what He calls it. You called it this. It's all right. You can call it a different thing as long as you've got the experience of that. But it's got to be present, a time and a place and a word that you repented of your sin because God granted you repentance. It's not religion. It's not remorse or just being sorry that you got caught up with. Judas Iscariot repented of himself. He just had remorse. He was sorry. His conscience had caught up with him when he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and cast that back at the feet of the Pharisees there that day. It was remorse. I want to tell you, reformation is not repentance. A lot of people are reforming, turning over a new leaf. Every leaf I've ever turned over in the woods was always dirtier on the underside than it was on the upper side. It's not reformation. It's not turning over a new leaf. But repentance is a turning around, away from sin, away from the world, away from yourself, a turning toward God and taking up sides with God against yourself. And a person will not do that within himself. And he cannot do that within himself. He cannot do that without a completed work of godly sorrow and Holy Ghost conviction that brings a person to the end of himself that he might be saved. Folks, I want to tell you, we're living in a day when people are being exposed to this easy believism. Just come on to me as you are. Don't have to worry about your sin. You don't have to even deal with your sins. Come just as you are. And I understand you've got to come as you are. But there's got to be a work of God done in your heart in this area of repentance. And what people are doing today in this easy believism invitation that they're giving, just raise your hand, repeat after me and whatnot, they're actually filling houses, church houses full of tares or lost people, those who've never been saved, and as a result, churches are in a mess across this country today. I'm talking about Baptists. I am one of them. I can talk about them because I know what's happening in our Baptist churches. Listen, repentance has to be worked in every person for them to be saved. And it takes a completed work of godly sorrow and Holy Ghost conviction for that person to have repentance granted to him, bestowed upon him, and then he'll obey the gospel. And at the same time he's had repentance granted to him, God will grant him faith. And that faith is a gift of God. And if He grants him faith and grants him repentance, then when that work is complete, they'll be granted, and then he can repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. Repentance is a necessary work of God. It's necessary for one to be saved. And I ask you today, have you ever repented of your sin? If you hadn't, will you allow the Lord to convict you and draw you and finish that work in you that you might be saved ere it's too late? This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again, on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.